have a sibling who has a disability. How does this affect your life? What is your relationship like with your sibling? What special joys or challenges do you experience? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, September 15th. This Saturday in Madison, there will be a sibling summit for siblings who have a brother or a sister with a disability. They'll share information that will help them support their sibling, but also get some information and support from experts and others who are in a similar situation. More than 6 million people in the U.S. have a disability, and many of them have at least one sibling. And our guest says siblings play a unique and valuable role in their brothers and sisters' lives who have disabilities. We'll talk about what can be done to empower them and support them, and wonder what you think and what your experience is like. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Harriet Redman, founder and executive director of Wisconsibs Incorporated, which was previously known as the Fox Valley Sibling Support Network. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Now, thank you.
Get a little bit of information on Wisconsibs. Tell us what led you to found Wisconsibs.
Sure. Well, we've been around for nearly 18 years. Because 24 years ago, my second child, his name is Philip, was born with disabilities. And he had an older sister. She was almost 3 at the time. And when we got the diagnosis that, and it was a rare disorder, so there wasn't a name for the syndrome, when we got that information, of course, my husband and I talked about how this would impact our family, and it was fairly easy to find some resources for parents. And I was also concerned how this was going to affect his sister, and found very little research, no programming, and very little to read about how to parent when one child is developing normally and the other child has a disability.
Yeah. And so, what is your daughter's first name?
Her name is Christiana.
Christiana. So, mm-hmm. What did you sense? What did you witness when you had two children, one with a disability and one without?
Sure. Well, as will happen, kind of naturally, when you have your second child, the first child gets a little less attention than they had, but when our son needed a lot more support, both, you know, physically and eventually with school and therapists and doctor's appointments and, you know, just lots of time to support his needs. It was harder to give her attention. And then there were little things like she and I used to do a lot of art projects together. And that declined because he needed attention, and it was also somewhat dangerous to have some of the items out that, you know, beads and scissors and all those kinds of things out when he was out and about. So some of the changes were very clear and big, and some of the changes were kind of subtle.
Yeah. So is Wisconsibs, was it founded primarily for the siblings or also for parents who are in your situation?
Well, we founded primarily for the siblings. And the reason for that was that I didn't start out to start an organization. I started out to get some support for my daughter. And as going through that process, learned that many organizations are focused on the person with a disability or even the parents, but none were focused on the sibling. And even looking at possibly adding some programming to other organizations that were focused on the family, the sibling and the resources necessary to support siblings was going to be a second priority. And this was already happening in families where the typical siblings had to take a bit of a back seat. And so we did not want that to be the case in our organization.
Mm-hmm.
So we focus clearly on the sibling, but of course parents are important in that process too.
Right. So what is the role of a sibling of someone who has a disability?
Siblings have many roles regardless if there's a child with a disability. They can be teachers, they can be companions, they can be antagonists, you know, the child that's always egging on the other one. They learn a lot from all the different roles that they play. When there is a child with a disability in the family, some of those roles are diminished, and some of those roles are even bigger. For example, caregiving. Even the youngest child participates in caregiving when there is a child with a disability. And oftentimes they take on major roles, helping mom and dad manage everything that needs to take place when there's a child with a disability or a chronic illness. So that caregiving role comes in very, very early. And some of the other roles that may not be as regular are their role as companion and friendship and in having dialogue. For instance, Christiana has never had a conversation with her brother. They have communicated with one another, but her brother doesn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a different kind of dynamic, especially when Christiana would get mad at Philip. He would take stuff, and he would do things that frustrated her, and then she'd get angry with him and, you know, just like any other sibling, tell him off.
Mm-hmm.
But he had no response because he had no words. And the dynamic that took place and happens over and over again with families is that sibling then feels guilty for their feelings. And one of the things that takes place when we're working with kids in our programs is just acknowledging that they will get frustrated. Their parents get frustrated, and they will get angry. All siblings get angry with their brothers and sisters. And the guilt is something we talk about and how that feels and what to do about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. And that's happening as the siblings are growing up. How does, and probably beyond, but how does the role change throughout their lifetime?
Sure. Well, sibling roles change throughout the lifetime regardless of disability. You know, your listeners who have brothers and sisters know that they have a different relationship now with their brothers and sisters as adults than they did as children. But lots of things happen. As children, they're learning about their brother or sister with a disability. Sometimes they don't understand much of the information, or they're not given the information, and that can be frightening. That can be sort of a negative feeling when they don't know why their brother or sister's doing what they're doing. Or they don't know why all these people are coming into their house and paying attention to their brother or sister, and you know, they're off with an iPad or a television and off by themselves. So they get a bit frustrated as children. And as they grow up, they begin to feel, they begin to get more information, and they may begin to feel a bit more positive about the experience. I have lots and lots of adults that tell me, they wouldn't be the people they are today if not for their brother or sister. And they begin to appreciate that they've learned a lot of empathy. They've learned a lot of perseverance and patience in the process. But it's both a positive and a negative experience throughout the journey. As they become adults and begin to realize that, boy, mom and dad may not be here forever to care for my brother or sister or take charge of his care or her care, they have questions about how do I plan my life and how is this going to affect my family, my children.
Yeah. And that we'll pick up on this point after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about siblings who have a sibling who has a disability. Talking about a sibling summit, which is going to be held this weekend in Madison, Saturday, September 17th, from 8:30 until 2:30 at American Family Headquarters in Madison. Talking about the special role that siblings of people with disabilities play, and welcoming your questions and your own experiences. Do you have a sibling with a disability? What's your experience like? What questions or concerns do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. More than 6 million people in the U.S. have a disability, and many of them have at least one sibling. We are talking with the founder of an organization that provides support and empowerment to the siblings of people with disabilities, talking about the unique and valuable role that siblings have and what can be done to help them and support them and make them feel less isolated. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your own experiences. I'm wondering if anybody listening is the sibling of a sibling with a disability. What has your experience been like? Is it what our guest was saying growing up? Did you feel love and caring for your sibling, but also at times feel very frustrated? Did your sibling teach you to be more empathetic? What are your questions and your concerns? Do you have a disability? What is your relationship like with your sibling? Or perhaps you are the parent of children, one with a disability and one without. Maybe you need some information and advice. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with our guest, Harriet Redman, founder and executive director of WisconsinSibs Incorporated. It was previously known as the Fox Valley Sibling Support Network. Harriet and her husband have an adult son who has multiple disabilities. It was the older sister, Christiana, who inspired Harriet to eventually found this sibling support network, because there was information for her parents, but not a lot of information for siblings. The Sibling Summit will be held Saturday, September 17th, from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the American Family Headquarters in Madison. Harriet, what is the goal of this first Sibling Summit?
Well, we have three goals, actually. Probably the overriding goal is just to help siblings get together and meet one another. That is the primary interest of the group of siblings that are organizing this. But they're also interested in inspiring siblings and providing some information. So that information is going to be coming primarily from a couple of guests, an attorney in Madison, Colin Ritzinger, who is a sibling himself, but also counsels families on the future planning and the legal needs of setting up special needs trusts and other various things. Our other speaker is Terry Cohenhoven, who is with the Children's Hospital in Milwaukee as a sex educator and mother of a child with Down syndrome. Our siblings that are helping organize this were very concerned about their siblings and how to talk to them about dating and sex and boundaries and things that, as they get to be adults, they turn to their siblings and need help, need information, need guidance. And so our siblings wanted some information and help on how to do that.
Well, that is something that I never thought of.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think of the setting up of planning for the future and mm-hmm. Estate planning or the like, because I know someone who is the parent of an adult man who has a disability,
mm-hmm.
and there was concern on, I am not going to be here forever, and mm-hmm. the son lives at home, and who is going to help care for her son when she is gone? And now there are siblings, and so that often falls upon the sibling. Is that what's happening?
It does. Most parents prefer to have the siblings involved in their child's life as an adult child. The key here, though, is parents are somewhat guilty of not sharing that information with the siblings. So we offer a program called Journey Forward, and actually that's going to be available in Madison on October 8th through the ARC of Dane County and Love Dane. But the primary thing that they're concerned about is, how do I talk to my parents about the future? Because my parents aren't going to be around forever, and they haven't said anything about this. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. And just like anyone else, when you're not sure, you become fearful. And that's true for adults, too. So any parent, young parent or parent of adults, need to include their sibling in those discussions. And siblings will wait for parents to bring it up. And sometimes parents wait for siblings to bring it up, and somebody has to. That's the most common question in the programs that we've led.
Let's take a call from Mark and Cameron, who's with us now. Hi, Mark.
Hi. My brother lives with developmental disabilities, and growing up, it was so weird to me because people would look at me like, oh, you are such an amazing person for how you care. He's my brother. I knew no different.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it's not easy. It's not easy at all, because I had to give up time so my mom could spend time with my brother. And there are very, very deep sacrifices that you make. But he's my blood. He's my brother. Mm-hmm. And I'm a pastor now. I would say that he was a great influence on my life. He's a great influence on my children's life. They have learned compassion, how to understand people who aren't, quote-unquote, physically normal. It's an amazing. I would never have, I never asked for it, but I would never wish for anything different.
Do you hear things like that, Harriet?
All the time. Mark's words I hear over and over again. And it's part of that process of growing into adult and being able to remember back and how hard it was, but that there were positive lessons learned from that. At the same time, the last thing siblings want to get from anyone is sympathy. This is their life, as Mark said. This is what he knew. He knew no different.
Oh, he got no sympathy from me.
Right. But siblings like you often say, oh, I just hate it when somebody says, oh, I'm so sorry for your condition or your situation. No, they don't want sympathy. Yes, some understanding and some support would be really, really helpful, but the sympathy is not so helpful.
Yeah. And Mark, is your brother still with us?
He sure is. He lives with my mom, and my three children absolutely adore their Uncle Brian.
Yeah.
They can't love him more.
Have you been a part of any sort of discussion about what might happen when your parents are gone?
I hold a huge amount of guilt because I do not live close to my family. My sister does, and the burden falls on her, and I feel guilty about that.
Yeah. Harriet?
Well, I hear this a lot, too, from brothers, and sisters are the ones that usually are, they either step up or they're expected to be the primary caregiver. In fact, I just talked to a brother yesterday, and I understand your guilt. He was sharing that same thing. What sisters tell me they need most of all is support from their other siblings and not second-guessing. They need some appreciation, and that doesn't necessarily come in a box of chocolates, but that could help. but they need to know that their siblings trust them and they appreciate the effort they're making to make their siblings' lives good quality so brothers, respect your sisters, appreciate them, and help where you can. And sisters, what we found when I've been listening to brothers and sisters talk is brothers are telling sisters that they need to be very specific in telling the brothers what to do. If sisters need help, they need to tell them exactly what to do.
Yeah. I guess I would stack up on and start setting that chocolate now, Mark.
Yes.
Today.
Good idea. Thank you so much for calling. Is there anything else, Mark, that you want to let us know about being the brother of a brother with a disability?
It's the greatest, one of the greatest gifts I've ever received.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that really is. It's because he may not have become a pastor. You know, you never know. But
right. Going back to a remark that Mark made about growing up. Growing up is pretty tough. It's tough for any child, but there are additional stresses when you're growing up and your brother or sister has autism or a developmental disability or even a chronic illness. And so for parents, acknowledge those frustrations and those fears and help them with giving them information about what's going on. What is the diagnosis? What's going to be happening next? Why are those people coming into the house and doing all kinds of play or therapy with their brother or sister? Keep them informed. That goes a long way in validating the sibling and helping them develop a good, healthy relationship. As they grow older, and this is true for anyone, the relationship we have with our siblings is a huge factor in the happiness of adults in middle age and older. They go back to their siblings for that connection to their childhood. And so keeping adult sibling relationships is a very important thing to do.
We are talking about supporting siblings of people with disabilities. Our guest, Harriet Redman, is founder and executive director of WisconSibs, Incorporated, previously known as the Fox Valley Sibling Support Network. And they're organizing the first ever Sibling Summit, which will be this Saturday in Madison, offering experts and information and advice and support for the siblings of siblings with disabilities. And we're welcoming your questions, your own experiences, wondering if you have a sibling with a disability and what special joys or challenges have you faced? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Maybe you have some thoughts on what needs to be done to support those with disabilities and their families, and perhaps the siblings in particular. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I saw on your website, Harriet, a video about this Journeys program that you have. And What I found interesting there were we saw siblings talking, a sibling who did not have a disability and a sibling who did, about how they are planning for the future. Mm-hmm. And it was, talk to your sibling. What is it that's important to you? What is it that you, you know, what do you see your future like? What would you like to be doing in the future? So that will be a way to at least, a starting point.
Definitely. We believe and know that people with disabilities have a right to their own life and their future. And so for siblings and parents to plan it for them isn't right, isn't helpful. They need information and include their siblings with disabilities in this whole planning process. So with our program called Journey Forward, it's not only for the sibling, the typical sibling, but we encourage them to bring their brothers and sisters with disabilities. They will sit in on part of the program, but they'll also get to go off and create a scrapbook and tell their story and put together their dream for the future. When they come back with their siblings, then both parties learn so much. We had an example I like to use is a sibling who, she has Down syndrome, and she wanted to own a pet store. And her siblings had no idea that this was something she could even conceptualize. And it wasn't going to be real practical for this young lady to own a pet store, but what they learned from that was that she really wanted to be involved in it with animals. So they put part of their plan, as part of their plan, they designated, they wanted to make sure that she had time to volunteer at the humane shelter, that she had time with, they had a neighbor with a pet, that she had time with animals. And that was a breakthrough for them. They connected with one another in a way they hadn't done before because they anticipated they would just plan her life for her. And both parties and the parents, too, were much, much more relaxed and enjoyed the process, knowing that the sibling with a disability was involved in it.
Let's go to Dory in Appleton now. Hi, Dory.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I am a sibling of a sibling with Downs. My story is kind of weird. I've actually met Harriet, but my story is kind of weird because my brother is 62.
Oh.
And he was born in Appleton born in 1954. My parents were told that his life expectancy was 11 at the time. And so my parents never planned for anybody else in the family to ever have to take care of him.
Yeah.
So when we were kids, they kind of felt like they needed to protect us from information about dealing with my brother and kind of insulated us a little bit from that. It wasn't until we were much older, my oldest brother and I, who doesn't have a disability, sat down one day and said, so, you know, I assume that when I'm an adult, I'm going to take care of Stephen. And he said, well, I thought when I was an adult, I was going to take care of Stephen. Yeah. And so we kind of looked at each other and went, wow, and isn't that great? And had that conversation away from my parents because it was not a conversation ever expected. I've been surprised by how many adults I know who have who are parents with a disabled child who still haven't had any conversation with their other children in order to try and do some planning, because that planning is so important. And I've also been really surprised by how many people tell my husband and I that they're so amazed with us, that we are such incredibly wonderful people, that we have my brother in our home. And it's like, no, that's like, he's my brother. What am I going to do? I'm going to ignore him? I mean, I'm not going to take care of him. Of course we're going to do that. And just like your earlier caller, it's like, it doesn't feel surprising to me. It just feels like this is the right thing to do.
Thank you, Dory, for calling. We have news next, and then we'll get Harriet Redmond to respond. to your experience and others. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with a guest who founded a support group, an organization to provide support and empowerment for the siblings of siblings with disabilities. Harriet Redman is founder and executive director of WisconSibs, previously known as the Fox Valley Sibling Support Network. Harriet and her husband have an adult son with multiple disabilities and a daughter who does not, and it was the older sister that inspired Harriet to eventually found this sibling support network. The organization is holding its first ever sibling summit this Saturday, September 17th, from 8:30 until 2:30 at American Family Headquarters in Madison. There will be guest expert speakers and others in similar situations. And we're welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming your own experiences. Are you the brother or sister of a brother or sister who has a disability? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Harriet, just before our news break, we heard from Dory in Appleton, who had an interesting story. She is the sister and the caregiver of a brother who has a disability. She said he has Down syndrome and he is 62 years old, which is unusual, I believe. Back in the day, people with Down syndrome weren't expected to live that long, and so she says her parents never, ever talked about what was going to happen, and they wanted to almost shield the siblings from perhaps the impending death of their brother. And she says even today she sees so many adults of children with disabilities who try to shield their children from this kind of information. Talk about that some.
Sure. Well, I appreciated Dory calling in because her story is becoming more and more common. People with disabilities are living longer, and their parents didn't anticipate they would live this long. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me, and Dory's parents were given advice to institutionalize her brother, and obviously they chose not to do that. I'm a parent. I understand, we almost take an oath at the birth of our children that we will forever protect them. And yes, that's what we should do. But there is a point that protecting changes definition, and the point of protecting them from information and from reality is not helpful. In Dory's case and many, many other siblings, parents were probably thinking they were doing the right thing by not sharing all of this information or even having that conversation about what happens, because they didn't anticipate they would outlive or their brother would outlive their parents.
Yeah.
But it is happening more and more often. But I really encourage any parent to age appropriately share information with the siblings about the child with a disability, what their life is like, what their diagnosis is, how they perceive the world, and also help the siblings develop some strategies for anticipating difficulties. It might be behaviors, but it might be the future plan for their brother or sister. The other thing that I think many adults and definitely children have benefited from is getting together with other siblings, getting together with other children, getting together with other adults who have siblings with disabilities. And it's almost like they don't have to say half the words that are on their mind because the others get it. And it's that's so affirming. And it's, for many, it's even when they get to be 40, 50, 60 years old, it's the first time they've met someone who has a sibling with a disability. So that's an important aspect that we always build into our programming, is that networking and that a chance to build friends and build connections with other siblings.
Yeah. And Dori is caring for her brother and says, hey, he's my brother, and also, I don't want to say dismisses, but when people say, oh, gee, you know, how wonderful of you, she's like well, what else am I going to do?
What else am I going to do? Right. I want to speak, though, to the siblings that are not caring for their brother or sister in their home, or don't feel they have the capacity to do that, or maybe they have a different sibling that's taking care. We have a lot of siblings who want to continue a loving relationship with their brother or sister with a disability, but having a major caregiving role is either impossible or this is just not for them. So they're seeking information, too. And their information that they're seeking is, how can I find support in the community? How can I find the services necessary so my brother or sister has a quality life? And I want to be a brother or sister. I don't want to be their parent. I don't want to be their caregiver. I want to be their sibling. And that is just as important as filling that caregiving role. And we really encourage siblings who may not want to be the caregiver to connect with their local services, or if they have difficulty with that, understanding where do I start, giving us a call and talking through what is it they're looking for. Because that is very important, too. Not everybody is able to or cut out to be the caregiver.
Yeah, I was going to say that those siblings must also feel a certain amount of guilt because they're not taking care of their sibling when they really shouldn't be expected to.
Right, and oftentimes they are taking care of them by making sure they are getting the services or having the support circle they need to live a good life.
Yeah, and are those resources available for siblings with disabilities?
Yes, they are. And throughout Wisconsin, each county is organized a little bit differently, but most counties have the Aging and Disability Resource Center, and that is a key place to start to get the information, get the kind of the lay of the land, the map for what services may be available. And a lot of the siblings that I speak with, their siblings live elsewhere. They may not even live in Wisconsin. And so it's important if your sibling lives in Minnesota or, you know, other states, to find out what's available in those areas. And likewise, legal issues, they're going to vary depending on where the sibling lives and where the person with a disability lives.
Heather in East Farmington is with us. Hello, Heather.
Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
I was absolutely thrilled to get off work and hear this program. I'm so sad I missed the first half. I have a 24-year-old developed intellectually disabled daughter with autism and some mental health diagnoses, but I'm also the sister of a Down syndrome child who I was 7 when she died, very medically fragile. And this was I'm almost 50 now. So it's been many, many, many years. So I had that experience growing up, and it was really important to me to focus extra time on the other 3 children so that they didn't feel like they were robbed because everything focused on my 1 disabled daughter. Yeah. And it was just flat impossible. It's just flat impossible. So there's, I have to forgive myself for not being able to do that, and I have to wait for my children to grow up enough to forgive me for that.
Oh, and I'm,
sure.
I go ahead, Harriet.
And, Well, Heather, join the club. We've all tried that, and it is impossible. When you have a child with a disability, they take a lot of time, and each child deserves time. And your children probably have already forgiven you for that. They understand, and they certainly don't want to complain because they siblings tend to not want to add stress, believe it or not, don't want to add stress to their parents. They know there's a lot of stress going on, and so they tend not to complain, and oftentimes parents will say, well, I don't think my child needs to come to any of the programs because they never complain. Well, they're not going to complain. They may complain about not having, you know, the latest toy or, you know, a telephone by the time, or a phone by the time they're 8 years old or whatever, but they're not going to complain about their sibling. You certainly learned from being a sibling the importance of having time. What I suggest to parents is if they can etch out a few minutes each week to have one-on-one time with each of their children, maybe it's just a, you know, go out for a Coke or something, that's a wonderful thing. It's a great gift you're giving your all of your children by having just a little bit of one-on-one time.
Yeah. Thank you, Heather, for the call. We have just a minute to go, Harriet. Mm-hmm. What do you hope listeners take away from our conversation today?
Well, sibling relationships are very important, and when you have a sibling with a disability, there's going to be positives and negatives. For younger children, it's important for them to get to know other children that have siblings with disabilities. It's affirming and it's fun. We have many fun programs for the younger kids, and it's important that they build some relationships and friendships with people who share many of the common joys that you've heard today and many of the concerns. So finding those kinds of programs, and they can find them on our website, and there are programs for children, teens, and adults.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Harriet Redmond, founder and executive director of WisconSibs. The Sibling Summit is going to be this Saturday, September 17th, at the American Family Headquarters in Madison. Thanks to Brianne Shasso and to Naisha Ellison for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There is much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.